G'day and welcome to the City on a Hill podcast. I'm Guy, Senior Pastor of City on a Hill, a movement of churches across Australia united around the central mission of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Whether you're on your morning commute or sitting down with a warm cup of coffee, I hope this message fuels your faith, hope, and love. And while we're here, let me encourage you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. You can do that by heading to cityonahill.com.au. God bless. Look forward to connecting soon.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have made and the good news that we have just declared. Thank you that you are Lord over all. And indeed, you can and have in Jesus turn graves into gardens. Lord, we long that the heartbeat of this church would be a joy in you, a gladness in you. We pray, Lord, that the heartbeat of this church would be a passion to see you as supreme and sovereign over all. Lord, we long to live and declare that there is, in fact, nothing compared to you. Everything else is as rubbish in comparison to the surpassing greatness of Jesus. And so we thank you for this time that we have. Be at work now, we pray, by your Spirit. That we'd be a people who glorify you. We want to commit this time to you for our good and your glory in the precious name of Jesus. And all of God's people said with one super loud voice, amen, amen. Why don't you take a seat, City on a Hill. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Ben. Great to be with you, City on a Hill, in what is an exciting season for us as a church. By show of hands, who was able to join us last weekend for our Easter celebrations? Wasn't it great? Can't we thank the Lord for his goodness? Did you know that across City on a Hill, we hosted 30 services and welcomed 5,300 men, women, and children? We also entered the waters of baptism with 42 people, and by God's grace saw many people respond to the good news of Jesus for the very first time. In fact, across the movement of churches, 92 people made faith commitments, 46 of whom are part of our church family here in Melbourne. Can we thank the Lord for his goodness and grace? Well, today does mark a significant moment in the story of City on a Hill, Melbourne. It's a time for us to thank God for his goodness and grace, and also to set our eyes ahead to this season we are in, and indeed this year, 2024. As you know, City on a Hill, Melbourne is the founding church within City on a Hill, the movement. 2007, same year the iPhone was invented, this church was planted. My wife and I joined a small group, a Bible study partnership between two Anglican churches. Small group is about 9 or so people, and a few people, limited resources. I was still finishing Bible college, never led a church, never planted a church, and was certainly feeling a lot of fear and trepidation as I was kind of moving into this. And wrestling with God, very much felt his call and his lead to help plant this church, came to that conviction that I'd rather fail at something God was calling me to do than succeed at anything the world wanted me to do. And so in God's grace, we took this step of faith together, not anticipating all the Lord was going to do in this story. And it's been wonderful. It truly has. And not to say it's been easy, not to say there hasn't been challenges along the way, but in many ways, the story, it's an evidence of God's grace. It really is. We've seen leaders raised up, new ministries started. We've seen churches planted. We've seen hundreds of people go from death to life, hundreds of people entering the waters of baptism. And I think most importantly, however, is seeing the name of Jesus lifted up, name of Jesus celebrated. What was once that small group Bible study of 9 or 10 people, by God's grace, is now a movement of 10 churches across 6 cities. And we're all united, aren't we, in this mission of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. I serve as the senior pastor for those 10 churches and for our movement of churches. But this is my home church, home city, and I get the joy and privilege to serve here as the lead pastor. And I love this church. I pinch myself that I get to be part of this community. I thank God for you. I really do. You know, for my wife and I, it's a tremendous honor, and you hear me say it every week. It's a joy and it's a privilege I'm inspired in my faith by the men and women in this room and joining us online. Your love for Jesus. Love the gifts that you bring and the encouragement. It truly is a great blessing. And in preparation, you know, for this year and indeed for Vision Sunday, we've been trying to wrestle with one word to articulate our mission and our vision for 2024. And I don't know if you can work it out. There's a few clues around what that one word might be. It's a call to go deeper. And you would have heard this quote before. It's been said that superficiality is the curse of our age. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. Interestingly, this quote was penned in 1978. And yet I'm sure you can agree with me just how prophetic that quote is when it comes to the world that we are living in today. Here at City on a Hill, we don't want to live and pursue a shallow faith or a superficial Christianity. We don't want to live on the surface. We want to go deep. We want to be a deep people. And to become a people of depth, we need to go deeper. We need to go deeper. Deeper in our love for Jesus and his love for us. Deeper in our resolve and our commitment to grow in our discipleship and become like Jesus. And indeed, deeper in our commitment today and indeed our courage to join Jesus in his mission. Later in the service, I'm going to invite Emily, Britt, and Brenton up to kind of talk about some of the ways that we as a church are seeking to fuel that mission and to go deeper together. Before we do, though, I do want to kind of lay the foundation for this vision in God's Word. And so if you've got a Bible handy, I'd love you to come with me to Matthew chapter 13. We know Jesus loved to tell stories to invite our engagement and to teach profound truths about the kingdom. Parable of the sower, so helpful for us when we think about going deeper. Jesus said to his disciples, a sower went out to sow and he sowed. Some seeds fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. One of the unique qualities of this particular parable in Matthew is that Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples what the imagery is all about. And so if you cast your eyes now with me to verse 18, Jesus goes on to say, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So how does this parable then shape our discipleship? What does it tell us about what it means to go deep with Jesus? A few brief observations. First, it tells us about the centrality of God's word. God's word is central in our life, in our families, in our home, and indeed in this church. What is the one thing that is sown on the ground? It's the seed, right? In every, you know, the seed is cast out. And then what is the seed, right? It never changes. What is the seed? It is the word of God, right? So it's the word of God's kingdom, Jesus explains, all right? The good news of his kingdom, elsewhere Jesus refers to it, right? This is the good news that God has entered into the stage of human history in Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Jesus came to seek out the lost, the estranged, the broken. This is the good news that Jesus lived a righteous life on behalf of the unrighteous. This is the good news that Jesus went to the cross to die a substitutionary death on our behalf, to take on our sin, to take on our judgment, to die our death. And this is the good news that he paid that in full and defeated death by rising to new life, that in Jesus there would now be good news for all who believe, that in Jesus there is now life, there is now salvation, there is now hope. This is the good news that the Bible wants you to see and to read and to go deep in. Because it's in God's word that we get to know the Lord himself. Right, we can get a glimpse of God's creativity, can't we, when we're out in creation? If you wrestle with your internal moral compass, you may get an insight into God's sense of justice. If you see a great performance or stand before something magnificent, you may get a taste of God's transcendence. But if you want to know Jesus truthfully, specifically, if you want to know Jesus personally, we have his word. Because as I've said before, that you know, the Bible is not man's speculation about God. It's God's revelation to man. Amen? Right? So this is why you'll see the early church. Like when you think, like, what does it mean to be a Christian? Look at the early church. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they devoted themselves to God's word. And then when ministers were scrambling to work out, well, how do we shepherd God's people? We've got all kinds of people in the church. Some come from broken relationships. Some are needing healing. Some are needing this, right? What's the Bible's command for those in the church, particularly those in leadership? It is what? Preach the word. Look at these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I love the kind of the authority in this and the gravitas. If we can bring it on up. In the presence of God, this is Paul to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Right? Preach the word. And be prepared to preach the word in season and out of season. So, City on a Hill, what's in season? In season is when people are excited about their faith. They've got their Bibles open. They're enthusiastic. They come to church early. They're sitting on the edge of their seat, right? If they're Pentecostals, they're yelling out, amen. If they're Anglicans or Presbyterians, they're nodding politely, right? That's in season. Okay, so what's out of season? Out of season is when people are not showing up. Out of season is when people are distracted. Out of season is when they're drifting away. Out of season is when they're choosing parts of the Bible that they like and cutting out parts of the Bible they don't like. Out of season is when they're following after false teachers. But you know what? Timothy, City on a Hill, we preach the word. In season, out of season, we preach the word, because this is the seed that brings life. So it's helpful to know, if you're like new-ish to City on a Hill, when it comes to our ministry methodology, we are incredibly open-handed. What do I mean by that? I mean, is that when it comes to like where we meet, the times that we meet, when it comes to the ministries that we run, when it comes to the clothes that we want to wear, when it comes to, right, let's innovate. Let's be open-handed. But when it comes to the Bible, we're not here to innovate or progress beyond truth. We're here to preach the word. right? So we don't read the Bible, for example, through the lens of culture. We speak to culture through the lens of the Bible, right? We're closed hand. We're closed hand on the message, open hand on the method. Really, really important in grasping who we are. Does that make us popular in the eyes of the world? Probably not. In fact, if you just think back to 2022 and the Essendon saga and Dan Andrews, you know, like you'd see, like all of a sudden, headlines, controversial church, controversial pastor. Let me say, I'd rather be controversial than Christless. I'd rather we be, like, I mean, if being biblical means controversial, let's be the most controversial church there is. Right? Committing to the word. This is what we do on Sunday. And if I had more, like, we're here for this. And you take this through the week, don't we? Right? Building into your rhythm, carving out that space. I don't know what that looks like for you, but think about how will the word be central for me in 2024? Second, the parable also reveals to us the hope and vision of human flourishing. So, one of the striking, I've always loved this parable, one of the striking insights here is that Jesus is giving us a very clear clue as to his hope for you personally, individually, but also for us corporately as the people of God. What is that hope? Well, clearly at the end of the parable, it's quite clear. It's that we bear fruit, right? That's God's hope for you. What is God's purpose for you? That you bear fruit. What does he want from my life in 20? That you bear fruit. Yeah, but what about my, that you bear fruit. Right now, Jesus says this, John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. God's desire for your life, City on a Hill, is that you bear fruit. What fruit are we talking about here? Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and indeed self-control. This is what God wants to bring to bear in your life. And just notice for a moment, as you look over that, how distinct this is from so much of what the world tells us is important. A lot of the world are going to tell you that your identity and your value and your purpose is wrapped up in what? I don't know, your grades at university, which company you get to do your internship with, perhaps where you land that next project, perhaps where you are in the org chart, right? None of those things are irrelevant, by the way. All right, there's a place and purpose for all of those things, and that's for another sermon for another day. But just notice that this is telling us that our life is not so much about those accomplishments or what we have in the bank, it's about who we are becoming. Dallas Willard says this best, the most important thing in your life is not what you do, it's who you become. So as you think about your discipleship, you think about going deep in 2024, it's less about, oh, what am I doing next? But perhaps it's a prayer, it's a question. Who am I becoming? And for the Christian, that question, who am I becoming, is answered in and ultimately about Jesus. God, you know, when we say God wants you to bear fruit, another way of saying that is he wants you to become like Jesus. That at the end of 2024, there'd be less of the world in you and more of Jesus in you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Love this. We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are what? Being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Right? So Christianity is far more than just a forgiveness of sins. It is that. We're set free from those things, but we're set free to live a new life. Right? Jesus himself talks about John 3, born again to a new life, new joy, new hope, new peace, new contentment, new courage, new sacrifice. This is what Jesus wants for City on a Hill, for his church. This is what he wants for you, for your family. That you'd bear fruit. That you'd grow more and more in the wonder, the glory, the beauty of Jesus. Third and final point, which is really a warning. When we talk about depth, we need to appreciate that depth won't come easy. So you notice that not all in the parable bear fruit. In fact, Jesus shows us a series of different paths, which are hearts, by the way, hearts along the way. And not all bear fruit. For example, verse 18, Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Key word there is understanding. Now, I feel that as a preacher because I've got to make sure I don't just get the message out, but that it kind of lands in. But I think individually, we need to ask that God's word, when we're reading it, doesn't just exist on the surface. You know, Father, by your Spirit, may your word move from my head and penetrate my heart. And Lord God, would you protect me from the evil one who I know right now is going to swoop around and try and take this good news from me. Right? Sometimes we wrestle with Scripture, don't we? And that's good to wrestle with Scripture and ask tough questions and all of that. But it is helpful to keep in mind that sometimes our challenges with the Bible are not just intellectual, philosophical, or cultural. Actually, sometimes the difficulty is spiritual. That's what Jesus is saying here. You mean a conversation with someone about the Bible and they're not, like, it could be because the evil one is coming to swoop in and take that away. Look then to verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So here at City on a Hill, when it comes to our life, going deep, I want to be honest about the struggles. We want to be honest that suffering will be part of our journey. And importantly then, we need to be deep in our faith, right? Because it's not a question of if those storms will come, it's when. And will you stand? Right? Jesus himself uses that parable, doesn't he, of the man who built on sand versus the rock, right? And he says, those who hear his word and obey it are those who build on the rock. In other words, when the storms come, they stand. So there's that theme of depth. And then take note of verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. So what's the point in kind of going through those? I believe the point is to tell you that depth won't come easy. There's a lot stacked up against you when it comes to growing in Christ. There's a lot of headwind. There are going to be a lot of challenges in the world, in the devil, and indeed ourselves. I've quoted this before, but I think it's brilliant. Don Carson says, people do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch towards prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves we have been liberated. Depth won't happen by accident. We read throughout the Scriptures that we will not go deep and bear fruit apart from Christ. We will not go deep without a profound move of the Holy Spirit in our life. And coupled and connected with that is the call for us to put in place rhythms and practices rhythms of grace, spiritual disciplines, like a trellis on a vine, to help give form to our discipleship and to help us give room to grow. So Christianity is never that we're working for our salvation. Our salvation in Christ is secure, but in our sanctification, there is this constant call to follow Jesus. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, Dallas Willard says, grace is not opposed to effort. If we can bring this up, it is opposed to earning. Earning is an attitude. Effort is an action. And so that, I hope you can see in that a very practical call. When Jesus, in Revelation, talks to the seven churches, Ephesus, you know, booming church, lots of great things going on. Yet he challenges them because they had forsaken their first love. And you remember the kind of, well, how do you kind of rekindle that love? If we bring up the next verse, Jesus says, maybe we don't have that on the screen. That's okay, I can read it for us. He says, repent and do the works you did at first. Do the works that you did at first. Right? It's like any relationship. 2 months from now, celebrate with my wife, 22nd wedding anniversary, right? And it's interesting, you know, we've lived a lot of years together now and so very thankful for our love. Hasn't always been easy, been plenty of challenges. And people often want to know, how do you, you know, what makes extraordinary love? What makes extraordinary relationship? What makes extraordinary? Well, actually, through years and the seasons, it's always through the ordinary. Ordinary rhythms, ordinary practices, they're the things that help fuel our faith. The same is a relationship. The same is true for our faith. The same is true for our walk in discipleship. If you want to go deep in Jesus, yes, there might be those significant breakthrough moments, and you want that. But actually, what we see with Jesus is that one step after the other of following him. It's the ordinary, everyday rhythms of Tuesday, I'm going to read my Bible. Wednesday, I'm going to dedicate some time to prayer. Thursday, I'll be along with my gospel community, right? So there's rhythms in your life to help you go deeper. What would it look like for you to go deeper in 2024? What steps could you take to fuel your love for Jesus and grow as his disciple? We're going to give some space in our service to really kind of reflect on that personally and collectively as a church. But before we do, as I said before, I want us to kind of talk about some of the things we're seeking to do this year as a church. So could you make a lot of noise and could we please welcome up Britt, Brenton and Emily. Thank you, Jess. Awesome. Hello, team.
Hello.
So we have a great, I'm sure you know this, a great team at City on a Hill, Melbourne. A lot of different people serving in a host of different ways. Brenton, Emily and Britt serve as a lot of different areas, but ministers in terms of discipleship. And so I thought it'd be great for us to have a chat about some of the things that we're seeking to do. This is not covering everything that we're doing as a church, but we just thought we'd spotlight a few things. And it's helpful to say, like, everything that we do is really all about discipleship. But again, just thought it'd be helpful to spotlight a few things. I spoke today about the centrality of God's word. So we as a team of pastors get away and kind of think about the year ahead and where we're going to go. We thought we'd give you guys a sneak peek into that today, if we could bring that up. In terms of our teaching for the year, that looks fancy. This is where we're going in 2024. Brenton, Britt, what excites you in terms of God's word and what we're teaching this year?
Yeah, well, there's so much to look forward to this year. Our next journey in the Bible is going to be in the Ten Commandments. I think our subtitle is Controversial Ethics in a Confused Generation.
Yeah.
We sure love a good controversial. We're a controversial church, right?
You said that. We're going to play to that now. So.
So, you know, it's not going to be a series where you memorize a set of rules, although I would encourage that, especially if you've got kids. It's going to be one of those series where we get to have a framework of ethics of how to live our life that not only grow us in Jesus, but help us to tell others about Jesus.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that. I'm also very excited about the series after that, which is going to be, you know, we're going to have conference and then we're going to go into the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, I guess in my experience as a minister, you can back me up on this. I think there's three ways that you respond to the Holy Spirit. Either you're really confused, you're overcome by his goodness, or you have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And typically you're all three, right? Yeah. And there's so much in the Bible that talks about the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus says that, you know, the Bible, the Spirit is a helper that helps teach us everything.
Yeah.
Paul says, you know, the Spirit helps us in our time of weakness and groans in prayer for us in things that are too deep for words. The Spirit, I better stop. I'm going to take care of the service. Anyway, I'm very excited about that series.
It's hard to. I'm also excited for Hebrews, but I feel like I'm not matching your level of excitement. But I think Hebrews will also be an excellent series. We are going to go deep in this book, and so we're going to go through methodically through Hebrews. And it's said that Hebrews is just such a profoundly rich theological book. Just looking at it and having looked at kind of the outline of the series, there's just some things in it that I think will be so helpful for us as a church, particularly as we think about discipleship. I mean, it paints this beautiful picture of who Jesus is. Mm. And it's really glorious that we see him sort of in all his fullness. And it talks about what he's done, like particularly in being the priest or keeping the covenant or just so thoroughly dealing with sin. And I think that's so helpful. I feel like I've talked to a lot of people lately who are struggling with maybe a sense of worth or struggling with their sin and the fact that grace does cover that. And so I think in Hebrews, we get this beautiful reminder of grace. And then also in Hebrews, it's this call to be faithful and to persevere. Because it's hopefully, as Christians, you know, we're in this for the long haul. And Hebrews acknowledges that and talks about what it is to persevere well. I mean, you've got these heroes of the faith as an encouragement. And there's this idea of, being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What is it to run towards the prize? And so I think it'll be so good as a church to kind of think together, how do we persevere well? So it's going to be a good series.
It's great. I love you guys to, you know, be praying in anticipation for these series. You know, one of the things we know about the church today, and that's true for City on Hill, but actually churches around the globe today, is people tend to go to church like 2 out of 4 weeks. That's kind of like the average that we're seeing. Between you and me, I would love to see that lift.
I'm on.
I think make it a priority to gather with God's people. Resolve in your heart today to actually, in all the things that I'll do in any week, I'm going to prioritize coming together with God's people, hearing God's word, encouraging someone. That's not just for you and how you will grow, but also how you then encourage other people. Obviously, we have online, which is fantastic, and podcasts. If you're interstate, overseas, I appreciate all of those things. But make this a priority in 2024. Let's all grow together in that way. Obviously, whenever we're talking about the word, we also want to be talking about prayer that goes alongside that. Alice Arnott spearheading a whole host of different prayer ministries, different rhythms that we've got happening. Prayer happens in service, after service, before service. There's prayer meetings during the week. Emily, this year, we're going to try something a little bit different.
Yes.
With a one-off initiative. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so within prayer, we don't pray because we like to pray. Like, we pray because we love Jesus. Mm. And that's what we want to be true of us as a church. Like, we want to have a culture where prayer is obvious. It's at the front. Mm. And so we don't want to be where the prayer people over here who are praying for the mission over there. But how do we blend those two worlds together and be, no, the prayers are the people on mission. And the people on mission are the prayers. Like, there is not a compartmentalization of the two. And so ensuring that we are a church that has a heartbeat of prayer happening and praying for revival. Like, we want to see our city transformed by the good news of Jesus. Like, that's just a really simple, straightforward desire that we have as a church. And so that's something that we do in our prayer meetings throughout the week. as Guy mentioned, before, after service, during service, gospel communities, Greenhouse, Alpha, wherever City on a Hill is gathering, we are praying and praying for the transformation of the people around us. And so one of the things that we're also looking to explore is after conference, having a week that is dedicated to prayer and exploring what does it look like for us to fast as a church community together, recognizing that we can come before God and bring really big things. We can bang the drum of God, please show up, do something here. And so that's something that I'm really looking forward to. I, full disclosure, don't have like the best prayer life. That's something I've always really struggled with and something I'm working hard on. And I have found I learn how to pray by praying with other people. Mm-hmm. By turning up to prayer meetings and sometimes just sitting and listening to other people pray, help me pray. Has taught me how to pray, has transformed that. And so can I encourage you, as you're thinking through the year ahead, where are the times that you're putting intentionally aside to be praying?
That's great. Mm. That's great, Emily. Brendan, we saw some images on the screen from our conference last year. For us, conference is certainly not just an event. It's a moment for us to go deep in Jesus. How have you been encouraging your faith in terms of our conference last year, and maybe a word about the one coming up?
Yeah. Look, I loved conference last year. Yeah, and there's really two things that Christians love, right? There's camps and conferences. We're all about those. And I think it's right because, you know, it kind of mirrors Jesus' life. Jesus spent time in the city, did his work, did his ministry, and then took time out of the city to go spend time with the Lord. And I think that's what conference is what's so great about that is that we're not just going out by ourselves to spend time with the Lord. We get together with all of the City on the Hill churches and get some time with them in God's presence. And I think our focus this year is on revival is really right. It feels right. There's so many people in our church that are just desiring to see this extraordinary work that's ordinary for the Holy Spirit. And so John Tyson coming and speaking to us on revival is going to be just a fantastic time. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Love you guys to be part of that conference. It brings all of our churches together, but in some sense, like it's in Melbourne, so we're kind of like the hosts here, and I'd love you to prioritize that. Please don't let money be a barrier. If you need help getting there, come and chat to us. We'd love to support and do whatever we can to get you there because it's going to be a great time. Britt, we couldn't talk about discipleship without talking about our gospel communities. We have about 35 gospel communities now meeting across the city and such. Could you share a little bit about the heartbeat and why for you gospel communities are important when it comes to our discipleship?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you've already set it up so well from what you were talking about earlier today in this idea that, yes, there's this call for us to be sanctified, to be growing, to be bearing fruit, to be looking more like Jesus. You know, we don't want to be the same at the end of the year that we were at the beginning. And so that's between, you know, us and God by the work of the Spirit. But it seems that all through the New Testament, there's a very strong emphasis that this is going to be done with one another. I mean, it talks about bearing with one another, loving one another, equipping one another, teaching one another. You know, there's this idea that I think in the writer's mind, you're going to do this together. And yes, we get to do it on a Sunday. How excellent is that? But I think there's things that you can do during the week around a dinner table that aren't possible to do here with 300 people on a Sunday. It's just a place to be known deeply and to know others more deeply. And so I think the aim of gospel communities is exactly the same as what you've talked about today. Like, we want to be maturing, and this is a place where we can help one another mature. And so, like, for example, last year we had, Alba and Praz's GC, and Rachel was leading it then. And it was around the time when, around the referendum time. And they, as a group, did a night where they put together a PowerPoint and they did a bunch of research and they looked at both sides arguing, you know, for and against The Voice. And this isn't me about bringing up politics, but I just love the posture behind it, that this was a group that was like, hey, we just want to do the most faithful, godly thing. We want to love God well in every area of our life. So, hey, let's try and do that as a group. Let's try and learn together. Let's encourage one another. And so I think you sort of see in that the real heart of gospel communities, what does it look like to follow Jesus, to follow him well? And so our groups are really centered around the word and centered around growing in maturity. But as Jackie said as well in her video, it's also like this, Dave Chiswell used to say that godliness is caught rather than taught. And there's this idea as well that just doing life together teaches us a lot. We learn from one another. Praying with one another, we learn from one another. And so what Jackie sort of demonstrated is we also just hope that our gospel communities are doing life together, that we're loving each other like Jesus did, because that's so powerful. Whether that's grieving in deep, deep loss, and I know that a lot of groups grieved together last year as people in our church lost people close to them. Our groups also celebrate with one another, and then everything kind of in between. And so that's the vision, that's the hope for gospel communities is, hey, let's be maturing in Christ and let's be spurring one another on. And I just think having that regular rhythm of meeting weekly is just one of the best practical ways to do that.
And thank you, Britt. And this year, kind of aspirations and hopes, what are we seeking to do?
We've talked about, and we're going to talk about a few other sort of discipleship initiatives that are maybe for a season, Alpha Greenhouse. But our hope is that there's certain rhythms that you talked about, like coming on a Sunday. Hey, let's make it more than 2 out of 4. And being part of a gospel community, that these are rhythms that we're all doing kind of all the time. And so we would love to see more and more people in this church being part of gospel communities, because you know that this is a way that's going to help you go deeper and help you can help others go deeper. And so we just love for more and more people to be in groups. And therefore, to do that, we're going to need more leaders. So if you would like to lead a gospel community, if you feel passionate about helping shepherd people as they grow in Jesus, I'd love to hear from you. Also, if you maybe don't want to be a leader, but you're like, hey, I have a house or an apartment or somewhere that in my building that we can meet, particularly if you're within 5K of the CBD, I would really love to hear from you too, if you'd be happy to host. And so, yeah, let's grow the number of groups so that we can all be in gospel communities during the week.
Awesome, Britt. Britt does a wonderful job in, you know, leading all of the leaders. So there's a lot of resources and encouragement along the way. We're also in 2024 running 2 to 3 all-in leaders days. So I think we've got about 350 leaders and volunteers, teams, things like that. We're coming together for encouragement, for prayer, for worship, for training. And so if you're in this room and you're thinking, hey, I'd like to find out more at least, we'd love to talk to you about that. I think we'll finish with a new initiative, Brenton, that we're looking to do. One of the things in terms of discipleship is, you know, we've seen lots of people join Alpha, coming to know Jesus, which is great. And we've been thinking about how do we help them on their next step. So could you just share a brief word on the Foundations course, which we're looking to launch in 2024?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if God answers our prayers and we get to see, you know, dozens of people this year come to know Jesus for the very first time, what next? What's the next step in your journey as a new disciple of Christ? I know when I first came to know Jesus, I knew nothing about Christianity. All I knew was that Jesus was cool, didn't know anything else. And so one of the things that our Foundations course, I think, is going to really help with is two things. One, you're going to get a chance to see what real Christians in the flesh look like and how they live their lives, how they go deeper with Jesus. And then the second thing, like I was saying earlier, we want you to understand the Bible, the centrality of God's word, the storyline of God's redemptive purposes in the world. And so be on the lookout for that. It's going to be an amazing course. I can't wait to be a part of it. And if you're a newer Christian or new Christian trying to get at the foundations of what Christianity is about, that's going to be for you.
Excellent. There's a lot you'll see happen in the life of City on a Hill, and Foundations course is going to be this kind of next chapter for people taking that step. We've mentioned Alpha. You've got some images there from Greenhouse, which is a newish initiative into the third year now, which is just great, great. I mean, by show of hands, who's part of been part or part of the current Greenhouse program? Love to see that. So one of the things we're seeing at City on a Hill is this kind of maturing of initiatives to really help people go deep in Jesus. We obviously have our Sundays, we have gospel communities, which, you know, week to week, encouragement, support, and then a series of courses and programs to help us go deep. We couldn't do that without an amazing team of volunteers and leaders. We can't do it without amazing staff as well. So could you please put your hands together and thank them for that. As I said before, we're going to have a moment to respond, but I thought it'd be helpful just to kind of unpack some, thank you, Jess, some really clear, practical next steps.
for you. First, I mean, you would have heard this bell rung a bunch of times today. Join. That would be the first word, join. What do I mean by that? I mean, there's a step beyond just rocking up on a Sunday. There's a step beyond just turning up to events. There's a commitment in your heart. You say, hey, I realize I can't do this life and this faith thing alone. I need to do it in community with other people. Now, sometimes that can be hard in a large church. Admittedly, we're a large church. And so you need to be intentional. You need to be proactive in that. There's lots of ways, as we've already heard, that you can be part of community, joining a gospel community, getting along to our conference, signing up for the next cohort at Greenhouse. Lots of different ways that you can help you build, but you need to be proactive in that. And that's going to be important in your life and faith. What I've realized is there's lots of twists and turns in life. We need the support of one another. In fact, you can't live your discipleship out without other people, because so much of discipleship involves others, loving others, showing kindness to others, generosity and such. So that's the first word I want you to be thinking about practically in 2024 is how can I join? Second, how can you serve? How can you serve? I mentioned before, and I'll get the figure. We have a combined leadership team of 323 people. That's made up of gospel community leaders. That's made up of people who serve in a host of Sunday ministries and many rooms. In fact, by show of hands, who serves or leads in any way here at City on a Hill? Raise that hand up high. Let's put our hands together for these guys. They do an amazing job. We would not be the church we are today without the generosity of God's people in serving in so many different and yet important ways. I mean, let's be honest. The Bible has no room for a consumeristic Christianity. It was never envisaged in the early church that people would just be kind of spectating and watching the church. It's you're in the church or you're not in the church. If you're in the church, it's we're part of this together. We roll up our sleeves, and we've got different gifts in this room, and that's the point. It's to use those gifts in creative and ways. So, as your discipleship, ask yourself, what would serving look like for me in 2024? It could be some of the things we've talked about. It could be you have a new idea, a new initiative. We'd love to talk with you, love to help you make that next step. Third, let me encourage you to give. It's been said that when it comes to discipleship, the last thing to follow Jesus is our wallet. And I found that in my own life. It can be tricky and challenging, and there's perhaps no surprise that Jesus spoke about money more than heaven and hell combined, because it just looms so large in our lives. Here at City on a Hill, we don't want finances to or money or possessions to be a God we worship, but a gift that we use. Money can be a wonderful gift that God gifts us with, care for family, things like this, but also to fuel the work of the kingdom, to help advance the church, to worship God in prayer, to help us go deep in our discipleship. I'm sure there'd be many testimonies of people in this room when you actually took that proactive step of saying, oh, this is hard, but I'm going to give this. When you took that step, you felt a renewed depth in your discipleship, a sense of surrender and trusting in Him. Now, the truth of the matter is we are a faith-based community. We exist because of the generosity of God's people. That's always been true. When we were 10 people to where we are today, we've always existed. We can't do the things that we've talked about today without the generosity of God's people. Every dollar that you give helps us know Jesus and make Jesus known. Some of you in the room today are already giving, or online are already giving, and we say thank you. It's an evidence of God's grace that you support in that way. And I just encourage you in 2024 to continue in that. Maybe even ask God, could you lift or increase in that? Take that next step. There are others in here online who are part of City Hill, but not yet giving. Can I encourage you to take that first step, to consider what would it look like for you to financially sow into the ministry here? It's helpful from a planning point of view, to do that regularly, you know, it's very important that you're doing that prayerfully. Of course, if you've got questions about that, you can talk to people on our team. You could talk to me. But of course, we have a Melbourne Council, which is made up of lay non-staff people who kind of look over all the finances and all of that side of things. There's a lot of people. Sneha, who's up the front today, you could talk to her. But let me encourage you to take that next step. And if you want to find out more about that, you can do that at our website. And let me encourage you to take that step. Last point could be perhaps the most important when it comes to this is pray. We say it often here at City on a Hill, because it's in the Bible, but unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Everything that we've talked about today, the aspirations for what we want to do as a church, and even in your own life, when it comes to your discipleship, you know, you might have lots of ideas and ambition, which is great, but unless the Lord builds the house. So let me encourage you to prioritize and pursue prayer in 2024. There'll be a range of experiences of prayer in this room. Some of you might already have a regular daily rhythm. You're up early and you're carving out a good portion of time. Go further. What else does the Lord have for you? Some of you may not have a robust prayer life. Let me encourage you to consider what a next step. And don't do that in isolation. There's lots of people in this community who'd love to help you do that. This week, in all of our gospel communities, we are setting aside the time to pray together in the communities. 35 gospel communities coming together to pray in their homes and in different spaces. We've also got a prayer meeting this week, which is an opportunity for us to pray and really lift up these things to the Lord in prayer. So let me encourage you to join. Let me encourage you to serve. Let me encourage you to give. And let me call us all to pray.